Bill's got a great job finding new church plants and encouraging the people that are going out and doing them. And, you know, spreading the word of the Lord is the most important thing that we can do. So we want to make sure that we are in total support of all of your work. Thank you. But today, we're starting a new study in the book of Colossians. And the letter to the church at Colossae was prompted when Paul received a visit from, and we'll work on pronunciation of words, Epaphras. And he's likely the founder and the leader of the church in Colossae, and a convert of Paul's from his more than 2-year ministry in Ephesus. Paul was in prison at the time, and Epaphras had come to Rome in part to serve Paul during his imprisonment, but also to confide in him regarding the dangerous teachings that the Colossians were hearing. So Paul sent this letter along with the letter to the Ephesians so that they would have some guidance. Now, the church of Colossus was under attack from false teachers, and they were denigrating the deity of Jesus. They were teaching that he was not actually God. Though Paul had never been to the church itself, he addressed these issues head on. The nature of Jesus Christ as creator and redeemer was non-negotiable. So Paul wrote to them that he might bring this wisdom to bear on this difficult and trying situation. It was critical to him that this church know God in his greatness and glory, rather than in the deficient view given them by these false teachers. Now, the main source of all their false teachings lay in an old Eastern dogma that all matter is evil, and its source is also evil. And if this were true, God could in no way be evil, so he could not have created matter. And since our bodies are matter, they are evil, and God could not have created them. From this notion that our bodies are evil, two extremes of error arose. One, that only by various ascetic practices whereby we punish the body can we hope to save it. And two, that since the body is evil, none of its deeds are to be accounted for. License was therefore granted for evil conduct and evil passions, and were indulged as pleasure and without consequence. Now, in seeking to find relief from this condition, they formulated two false doctrines. One, an esoteric and exclusive theory that was a doctrine of secrets and initiation, that you had to be a part of this secret society. They declared that the remedy for man's conditions was known only to a few. And to learn this secret, you have to be initiated into their company. And two, that since God could not have been the creator of these sinful bodies, they could not therefore come to him for a blessing. So they formulated in their theory a series of intermediary beings, like angels, that must have created us and to whom we must worship, especially as a means of finally reaching God. All these false theories conspired to limit the greatness and authority of Jesus Christ and to limit the efficiency and redemption of his. Now, until Paul received this visit, he had only received good reports from Colossians. Then the start of his letter to the church is an exclamation of these reports, perhaps to remind them of the basis of their belief. So we're going to read from, chapter 3, verse 3 and chapter 1. It begins, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Jesus Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. The faith and love that springs from the hope stored up in you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience and giving joyfully thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." You know, the gospel brings the grace and truth of God. And the last part of verse 6 says, "You heard and understood the grace of God in truth." They understood and accepted the gospel. When they expressed And they express that by growing in their understanding of the word of truth. The message of God's truth is a message of grace. You and I cannot earn acceptance before God. Salvation and sanctification are by grace through faith. You don't have to jump through certain hoops or follow some man-made regulation. One of the false teachings in the church was legalism. And so Paul immediately establishes that the gospel is the good news of grace. We receive what we don't deserve, but it's not because we're not good enough, but that when we recognize that we're bad enough to be disqualified from it, and the gospel of grace is truly good news at that point. It brings faith and love, hope, and a desire to share it with others. The faith and hope and love of the Colossians believed, believers led not only to maturity and stability, but to fruitfulness as others were drawn into their midst. The Colossian church was known for its love, and Paul mentions it in the first section of Colossians twice. The kind of love mentioned here is unconditional agape love, the same love that Jesus declares will set apart his disciples. But the world that we are in has a flawed view of love. It kind of goes, if you love me, I'll love you. As long as you love me, I will love you. As long as you don't act unloving to me, I will love you. And as long as I do not decide to love another, I will love you. However, agape love says, I will love you because God loved me. Agape love is not reactive, but proactive. It's not based on what others do to you, but what God has done for you. Their love for all of the saints stemmed from the indwelling Holy Spirit. Believers are in the Spirit, and the Spirit is in them, in us. So Paul continues to lay the firm foundation of God's involvement in the lives of the Colossians, of Christians, through his son Jesus. And the false doctrines that were coming into the church was called Gnosticism, like weird words that they have that came from 2 centuries ago, I don't know. This doctrine said that all material things were evil, as we mentioned, and that man was evil because he was material. And they contended that Christ could not have come to earth in any form but spirit, because he could not be a solid material person. Therefore, Jesus was either a regular man or he didn't exist at all. Now, Paul knew that he must overcome this specific false teaching to bring the Colossians back into the truth of God's creation of all things and Jesus' atonement for sin, so they would know it as reality. And Paul continues to express the truth of Jesus and to proclaim the power and authority of Christ and to reinforce the knowledge that through Jesus all things were created. And he said, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that everything he might have, in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile himself to all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusations. And if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel you have heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. And now I rejoice in what I'm suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I've become a servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, to us, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. Now, when you hear that, and it sounds familiar, that's because it's basically a restatement of the first chapter of the Gospel of John, where it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Now, it was important to Paul that the people of Colossae, the Colossian church, really understood that the false teachings they were receiving were really not true, as evidenced by the Word of God in the Gospels. It was important that he be able to break through the shell of those false teachings so that the church of Colossae were being attacked with, to direct them to return to the solid beliefs that they were taught and to readily accept when Epaphras brought the good news to them. The crisis which had been brought to the body there was extremely dangerous in the very life of the church. If they had accepted it, there was little chance that that church would survive. And Paul is counting on being able to reinforce the teachings that brought these believers to Christ in the first place. They had happily and gladly accepted the gospel, and their faith and love was so strong that the word of their belief was spread across the Christian world. Paul was relying on this strength of belief to open their eyes and bring them back into the proper path of salvation. He's working to bring about the reconciliation of these Colossian Christians with the God who loves them. When you're in Christ, when Christ has become your head or Lord, you are freed from every accusation of man and demon before God. The accused are beyond reproach, and the condemned are free if they are reconciled with God. Verse 23 states that this reconciliation in Christ comes only by an abiding or continuing faith. If indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not be moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and which of I, Paul, was made a minister. The text is insistent that they must continue and is confident that they will. They had a settled faith. It was established and firm. So Paul expects that they would continue in it. You know, we're never supposed to take a vacation from God. Because of Jesus' work on the cross, we can be presented to God as holy and blameless if we continue on in faith and reliance on Christ and His teachings. Notice the hope, the confident expectation which this gospel of reconciliation provides. Not only to them, but to the whole world, to every person under heaven, all of us. This indicates the universality of the gospel and its proclamation. Creation and awareness does preach to each individual the reality of God. And we read in the first chapter of Romans, the chapter, verse 18, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature has been clearly seen, being understood from what he has made, so that people are without excuse. Yes, the very world around us testifies to the power and the love of God. Everything we see and touch and experience cries out the existence of God. And this brings about our hope that the gospel in its fullest sense is the expectation of ultimate, complete salvation that we belong, that will belong to believers upon the return of our Lord. When we're separated from God, it will affect other areas in our lives in a bad way. A right relationship with God is the foundation of everything good we do in life. Atonement for sin was absolutely necessary, for until alienation, hostility, and evil works were dealt with, there could be no reconciliation. God cannot be reconciled with sin. But we can now be offered holy, blameless, and clean in Christ Jesus. We see that Colossians introduces us to God's trilogy of virtue: faith, love, and hope. Faith is the soul looking upward to God. Love looks outward to others. And hope looks forward to the future. Faith rests upon the past works of Christ, and love works in the present, and hope anticipates what may come. And that's what the church of the living God should have. They should be a body of believers known for our great faith, our great love, and our great hope. So, what are you clinging to? What are you clinging to establish your future? We need to believe in the promise of Scripture. We need to place our hope and faith in Jesus and the Word of God. And we must cling to the hope of the gospel. When you accept Christ, you're telling God that you are surrendering your life to Him on His terms. So be concerned with your Christian growth. Examine your fruit. And the fruit is what one produces, and what one produces tells who they are. Allow God to use you to bear fruit. For when you understand the truth of God and receive the grace of God, it just becomes a natural occurrence. So we need to allow the love of God to be evidenced in our lives, to reach out to others. Don't be reactive in your love, but be proactive. Allow your love to be an expression of who and whose you are. So how is your growth? Do you need to further your growth by asking God to produce more fruit in your life? Maybe you need to ask Him to make your love proactive and not reactive. And if so, would you, in His strength, make any decision that needs to be made to be assured that this occurs? Now, the people of Colossae listened to false teaching, and they were led astray. Today, we are constantly bombarded by people saying that the Bible is not a true story. It's just a collection of stories. That God could not have created the universe. It had to have been made when there was nothing at all. And that nothing exploded, and untold amounts of matter that didn't exist suddenly came into being and spread out to make the universe. Well, that sounds like a real logical explanation of how it happened. And they say that evolution explains every living thing on earth. They say that it all began with one single-cell creature that spontaneously appeared and grew into every plant, animal, bird, germ, and person now on the world. They claim that Jesus was a righteous teacher, if he existed at all, but he couldn't be God. In Paul's time, it was the Gnostics and the Eastern religions. Today, it's the logical explanation because God couldn't possibly exist. From the very beginning, these attacks have been ongoing. We read about it in Colossians, about how the attackers went after the people of God. This is happening and has happened throughout the 2,000 years since Christ was on earth and brought about our salvation. They just come up with a new argument every couple of centuries. So our worship team can come up. So we need to keep our beliefs focused on God's word and not let outside influences taint our faith. The people of God are under attack, and the world is constantly raising questions to try to weaken our belief. We see the ongoing attacks on everything Christian in our own country every day. But the Bible is the only authoritative source of the reality of what God has instructed and the instructions for how we should live and believe. We must strengthen our faith in God and challenge any attack on the Word by using it as our only guide and reference. God loves us, and because of that love, He made a way for us to maintain our strength and assurance in Him. Paul wrote to the members of the Colossian church so that they would understand that. And this letter was passed down through all these years so that we would understand that as well. Our focus needs to be on God, and we need to guard ourselves against the attacks that come against us because of our beliefs. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that all things were made by You, and we know that You have made a way for us to become a part of Your family. Not just believers, but family members, sons and daughters. And Lord, from Your word we know that we can expect attacks on our beliefs, because Satan is trying to break down that faith and take people away. So Lord, help us maintain our strength and our commitment and our faith as we look toward you, read your word, follow your instructions, and do what you would have us do to be productive Christians in a world that is trying to take us down. Lord, we know that through you, all things are possible, and if we trust in you, that will happen. So give us that strength and faith that we can put all of our trust in you. Lord, we thank you for the salvation of Jesus. We thank you for all the gifts that you have given us of grace and mercy. And we ask that you continue to walk with us as we go through our lives, constantly there, constantly ready to help us. We thank you for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.